Welcome in to a live edition of the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com and the new and improved KSL Sports app, which you can find on the Google Play Store and on the Apple App Store as well. But alongside me today, to celebrate this remarkable holiday that we have here in the United States of America, it's the NFL Draft, and alongside me is the one and only of KSL Sports Live, the anchor extraordinaire Sam Farnsworth, and our Utah Utes insider Michelle Bodkin. Thanks for hopping on, guys. Are you guys as excited about the NFL Draft as I am? I've been waiting for this day for, like, I don't know, 4 months.
It's yeah, it's huge. I mean, love the NFL Draft. It's a lot of fun, obviously, for the fans. It's a lot of stress for players waiting to hear their names, and a lot of work for the teams that are out there doing their homework, making their draft boards, getting ready to finally put it all into motion. So, yeah, this is definitely one of the premier days of the NFL season, which of course is January to January. But this is this is a great day.
This league goes nonstop.
For sure. No, this is draft day and like senior day to me are some of the best days, because it's just you see hard work kind of get paid off and rewarded, and it's I love seeing people's dreams come true, and sometimes not come true, as it were, but mostly come true. So I love the NFL draft, and I'm so excited to see where some of our locals end up.
So I do have a draft hot take, Kyle.
Well, it wouldn't be the Yards After College podcast without that, Sam. I expect one from you every time.
So the NFL draft is overrated. There's my hot take. Let me know. Let me tell you why. It is to an extent, right? It's a huge deal. The first round's a big deal, obviously, because you get that extra year. Teams get that extra year on the player they draft, that fifth year option. It's a big deal for the guys being drafted because there's a little more of a guarantee, but still not always. You still, after being drafted, it doesn't mean you're on the team yet. You have to agree to a contract still and work all that out. But the reason why I say that, especially once you get beyond the third round, it really doesn't matter if you're picked or not, as long as you get an invitation from a team. Like, all those players, they're going to be lumped into that same category, in my opinion. And then once you go out to training camp, that's when you earn your stripes and earn your spot on a team. So the reason why I say that is, like, for all the fans out there that are worried about, you know, X player or Y player being drafted this weekend and they don't hear their name, don't freak out just yet. The draft is somewhat overrated in that sense. Remember what happened to Britton Covey, to Tyler Huntley. I mean, the list goes on for locals who've made teams. Taysom Hill, right, that were never drafted. So, and it's probably going to happen this weekend to some of your favorite Utes or Cougars out there. So just chill. It's all good. But, yeah, the draft's a little overrated.
I think that's a good take. I think it's an accurate take. I don't love the phrasing of the hot take.
That's why
it's an accurate take. It's an accurate take. Especially, right. I mean, there's over 70 guys on NFL rosters with ties to the state of Utah, either played high school football here or they played at one of the college universities that's around the state. So pretty cool to see that group of 70 get added to this weekend. And the first guy that we're probably going to hear his name, hopefully tonight, and I'm interested to see where you might think that he lands in this. But Michelle, it looks like Dalton Kincaid's going to be the premier guy coming out of the state of Utah. Obviously, played tight end for the Utes the last couple of seasons and really had some breakout years and an amazing game against USC this last year that just, you know, had NFL scouts raving about him. But what have you heard about Dalton Kincaid? What can fans expect as the NFL draft is about to get underway in less than 3 hours from now? Where should fans be kind of expecting him to be going? What range are you looking at?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I off air, you know, I was talking to you about, I had an interesting conversation with a friend that's very well connected, and they were saying to watch the Lions with that sixth pick. It seemed a little high to me, but they said when they asked some of their pals that run around the Lions Club about, you know, Dalton and what are you choosing to do and what are you going to do with that sixth pick, they got silence. So that kind of raises some questions. Are the Lions really thinking about either using that sixth pick to get Dalton Kincaid, or are they going to trade it to kind of maybe move into a better position to get Dalton Kincaid? Outside of that, kind of, I think what I've been hearing is once we get into the teens, that's really kind of where people think we're going to see movement on them, and really kind of starting with the Packers in that 13th pick, which I would not be angry about. I'm a longtime Packers fan, kind of have moved away from it a little bit because I'm more interested in where the guys I covered ended up, and the Packers never take former Utes. So there just hasn't been a lot of interest there. So it'd be fun to have some interest in Green Bay for me again.
Yeah, that'd be an amazing landing spot. I know, Sam, we were talking about it kind of going on Twitter this week about potential landing spots for some of these guys. And you put out your mock draft earlier this week, which people, if you want to go and check that out, it's on kslsports.com in just one of our sub stories right now on the front page. But Sam broke down the whole first round. And if I'm not mistaken there, Sam, you had Dalton Kincaid going 13th overall to the Packers.
Yeah.
And, you know, selfishly, I think it'd be cool for us covering the locals in the NFL every week because, you know, with Jordan Love being the quarterback now, there'd be that connection every single time he caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah. I mean, I had him going 15th, right? And then the trade happened for Aaron Rodgers, which moved the pick up two spots. And I'm like, look, I still think when it comes to the Packers, if for my analysis or take, whatever, I think they're the first team really on that list that will prioritize tight end in the draft, early in the draft. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be at pick 13, but they're going to prioritize a tight end early in this draft. And so Dalton Kincaid, if you know, for my two cents, is the number one tight end coming into the draft. If you're looking for a draft early, and you want a guy that's been compared to like Travis Kelce or, you know, Stevenson Sylvester comes on and talks about the draft here on KSL Sports Live. He compared him to Tony Gonzalez, right? That was his NFL comp to Dalton. Those are some pretty good names to be compared to. And if you're looking at a tight end that can be on your roster for, you know, 7 to 10 seasons, holding down that position, making plays for your offense, then you have to consider if Dalton Kincaid's the answer for that, then you have to consider using that 15th pick or losing, getting an opportunity at taking him, or excuse me, 13th pick now, or losing that opportunity. But so I think that's as early as we might see him go. Probably the sweet spot is somewhere between like 18 and 23 ish in that ballpark. You know, I see the Lions are on there at 18 again, and you talked about the Lions potentially being interested at six. I think down with that 18th pick is right in their wheelhouse again. If they're still looking for a tight end, the Commanders, they're in the 16th. They're, you know, potentially they're talking tight end as well. But I would be pretty surprised if Dalton didn't go before like the 23-24 range.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of mocks too where he's going to, I think it's 21 to the Chargers, even like 26 to the Cowboys, 28 to the Bengals. Like, I don't think that there's a high likelihood that Dalton slides into the second round. I think that we'll see him definitely go tonight by at least the mid to late 20s there. I mean, there's only 31 picks tonight, too. There's one fewer pick than normal because the Dolphins forfeit their pick. But I do think that Dalton is the one guy that people can kind of, I don't know if I want to use a Sharpie, but maybe some erasable pen. I don't know. They have those, right, still?
Yeah.
And you can put it in that as opposed to pencil. And I think it'd be pretty fun to see that connection with the Packers. So I'm secretly hoping for that. But there are a few other players that we can expect to go this weekend, Michelle. And a handful of them are from the University of Utah, obviously Kincaid headlining them. But who are some of the other former Utes that we can keep an eye on maybe tomorrow and then also on Saturday?
I think Clark Phillips is kind of the next one that comes to mind. And honestly, it's interesting seeing how this whole process has played out, because at first it was Clark that was talked about as being the obvious first round pick for Utah. And then Kincaid kind of came out of nowhere. People realized that Clark's maybe a little short. But the thing that, you know, I'm hearing about Clark is that the teams that love Clark, they don't care how tall he is. And so, you know, I think someone's going to snatch him up really quick. very much like Dalton, just like a great attitude, team player, puts his nose down, does the work, wants to be great. And that's the kind of guys that the NFL is looking for. They don't want to babysit anyone, and you're not going to have to babysit Dalton. You're not going to have to babysit Clark. I think the guy that's maybe in a lot of ways improved his stock the most is Braden Daniels on the offensive line. He had a very impressive showing at the NFL Combine. Continue that in Pro Day. Some people think he's maybe a third round pick. I think that's exciting. I've seen him anywhere from the third round to the fifth round, just kind of depends. And then the guy that maybe came out of nowhere that just wasn't really on anybody's radar is Mumad Diabate. He very well could be a case in point of you have a great pro day and all of a sudden you give yourself a chance. I believe he's been kind of posted in that fifth round area. That's not a bad place for a guy like him to go, I don't think. And I thinking about, you know, kind of another comp, different position, but Robert Johnson years ago had a great pro day, was maybe a little bit off the radar, and he got taken in the fifth round by the Tennessee Titans and had a decent career, was ended a little bit short, but I mean, Mumad could very well put together, you know, a kind of career like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Sam, I was just going to ask you to add, who do you think would be the most likely team to select Clark Phillips? Because it seems like there was that time where he was, you know, maybe 4 months ago or so, as we were kind of wrapping the season up, he was, you know, fringe first round. And then now his range is kind of, you know, in that day two area between the second and third round. But I mean, there's a lot of teams that are looking at this stacked cornerback class. I mean, this is right. A really good cornerback group this year. And so some of those guys are going to go tonight, obviously, and mm-hmm. they're probably, you know, even in the top 10, the guys like Christian Gonzalez, another Pac-12 product. But, you know, after those kind of top guys go tonight, I think that there might be a run on corners early tomorrow. Is there a team that you think yes. that would be a good fit for Clark?
There's a handful of teams that come to mind. You know, when I first think of it, you mentioned how deep this cornerback class is. It's pretty impressive. And unfortunately for Clark, that's maybe part of the reason why it slid. And just because there's so many of these, I don't think it has anything to do against Clark's abilities, you know, and yeah, you know, Michelle mentioned his size and measurables at the combine. I mean, it is what it is, but every time you pop in the tape and you see him play, it's just like, my goodness, what are we missing here? I mean, there's a reason why the guy's a consensus All-American. There's a reason why, you know, he's been as amazing as he was at the U, and the reason why that he was considered at one point as a first-round prospect, right? He didn't do anything to hurt that status. I think there's just more corners who've risen up as well. So, yeah, someone's going to be super happy, mm-hmm. I think, by the end of tomorrow's, you know, third round ballpark to the fourth round on day three. Someone's going to be super happy to get Clark if he's floating around down there, because they're getting a guy who's a first-round talent. So as far as teams go, I looked at the teams that need cornerback, that need to address cornerback in the draft, that may not be or have a cornerback as their top one or two priorities, because that's about when you start thinking, you know, third and fourth round. Just throwing out a few names, maybe the Cardinals, Colts, and Commanders are the three that I kind of came up with. In my opinion, they all should take a pick or two to address the cornerback in this draft. And come late tomorrow, those teams should be looking right at Clark Phillips.
You're tuning in right now to a live edition of the Yards After College podcast powered by KSLSports.com. If you're listening right now and you have a question for myself, Sam, or Michelle, you can actually post that in and we can see those comments come in. So if you have any questions about the NFL draft as a whole, just any general questions about tonight or this weekend, or any of the local guys that are going to hear their names called this weekend or even sign a free agent deal on Saturday, I expect there to be a nice number of those contracts that come out, and we'll be busy on Saturday afternoon as well after the draft's mm-hmm. even over. But I wanted to move on, and Michelle, I still want your takes on this, but we're going to talk about a rival squad. We're going to talk about a team a little bit south of the University of Utah, and that's BYU. Now, BYU has a group of players that should hear their names called this weekend, or at least is projected right now to hear their names called. I wanted to talk about a couple of guys in particular. Jaren Hall, obviously the quarterback for BYU the last couple of seasons, and then Blake Freeland, who had an outstanding NFL combine, broke the NFL's combine record for offensive linemen in the vertical jump. Just an athletic freak. And a bunch of these guys, it's pretty cool too, because they're not only like college products, but, you know, talking about Jaren and Blake and a couple of these other players that are in this group of guys to talk about this weekend, but they played high school football here too. So like they're totally entrenched in the local scene. But Blake played at Harriman, Jaren played at Maple Mountain, and have continued on to be in the scene here. But it's interesting to me, Sam. We were going kind of back and forth on Mel Kiper's big board earlier today on Twitter, and Jaren wasn't even in his top 10 a couple of days ago. And now he's in, I think he's number 8 on Mel's big board. Yeah. But it just shows me like how much this like lying season, right? Like, I mean, even like Jaren, who's not going to be a first round pick, probably isn't even a second round pick, maybe third round to, I don't know, fourth to seventh round, somewhere in there is probably where he's going to go. But I think for him, it's more about everybody kind of knows what Jaren isn't, but it's what he is that he can bring to a team. He's not going to be, you know, the biggest guy in the room, but he's an athletic player. He's a smart player. And I think it's going to be about fit with these guys that aren't the first round kind of quarterbacks. It's all about, you know, I mean, like Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant last year, and he ended up landing with the 49ers. Injuries set him up, and now he's in a great spot because of it. So it's all about fit. But maybe just could you kind of break down, I know that at the end of your mock, you kind of put some other predictions in for not first round players, but some of these local guys. Where do you eye, you know, Jaren Hall and Blake Freeland ending up?
Yeah, so Jaren's super interesting, right? Because a year ago, by the end of the 2021 season, people that I know that are heavily involved with NFL draft and NFL draft analysis, they liked him in round 1 and 2, right? And that was a year ago. He didn't do anything to hurt his status, I don't think, this last year. He didn't do anything really to boost it either, but these other quarterbacks, this is just a quarterback-driven class too, though, right? You look at the other names in this class, and again, similar to what we're seeing with Clark Phillips, you know, his name has slid in a bit. I think BYU's win-loss record didn't help. You know, when you're coming off of 2 10-plus win seasons, that's going to boost everyone who's thinking about going to the NFL, and then you have a down year kind of like last year. It hurts a bit. So Jaren going, I mean, I think there's a broad range for him. You know, I think fourth round is about when you start to listen for his name, but it could go all the way to undrafted with him even. You know what I mean? So it's super interesting, but I think there's a fit for him. I mean, you look at what he's done the last 2 years, his touchdown to interception ratio is outstanding. His completion percentage is amazing. He makes plays with his feet. He's smart. You know, he's able to keep the play alive in the pocket, right, with his feet before he even commits to running. And you know, you look at the tape, it's all there for, and his arm strength too. You know, everyone, he's got the things that everyone looks for in a NFL quarterback. Question is fit. Just like you said, if he can find the right fit where they're going to have some patience with him, training him, hopefully a good veteran quarterback to mentor him, I think he's got a great opportunity to have a good future in the NFL. So, I mean, you know, whichever teams those are, by the time we get to the middle of day 3 that are still looking at quarterback, those are the teams. I didn't really pick any specific, you know, team that I think he would maybe fit at best, but that's about where you'll see him come off the board. Now, Blake Freeland, on the other hand, man, what an NFL combine he had in pro day, right? And just like what Michelle was talking about with Braden Daniels, Freeland did the same thing. His stock really shot because of a great workout at the combine. And so now, I mean, Sly even said, you know, late first to mid second round is when you could see Blake go off the board. I think that's probably a little generous, but I wouldn't be surprised if a second or third round pick is used to take Blake Freeland, just because of how freaky athletic he is as a tackle and just the size that he has, right? You talked about his days at Harriman. I mean, I see the guys I work with here pull up his old high school tape, and when he was a starting quarterback.
Basketball or football?
But yeah, well, I mean, they got tape of when he was a starting quarterback, tape of when he was a starting tight end, and he's just long and lean and quick, and now he's this massive, same athleticism, but massive player that can be on the offensive line. So there's going to be a lot of interest in him. He's going to have to be polished a bit, you know, in the NFL to become a good, really good NFL blocker. But he's, man, the talent and the ceiling is just unlimited for him.
Yeah, no, he's a super exciting prospect. And again, he plays such a critical position too. And mm-hmm. so I'm interested to see, you know, how he can use that athleticism at the next level, because if you're a good tackle in this league, and especially left tackles, I mean, you can make a lot of money. And we've seen how they've been paid in recent years. So that would be pretty fun to see. But
there's the four prime positions in the draft. Everything else is just kind of plug holes. But the four prime positions in the draft where you look for franchise cornerstones for a decade, right? A decade fit tackle, quarterback, cornerback, and an edge, a pass rusher. You know, whether it's an outside linebacker, defensive end, those are the four. And so, yeah, Blake is one of those. They're valuable. They're super valuable. That's why you see the boring offensive linemen going in the first round, because they're so valuable.
Yeah, no, it's true. Another guy I wanted to touch on from BYU before we move on is Puka Nacua. I'm interested to see where Puka ends up, because, I mean, he participated at the combine, but didn't really do many of the, like, measurement kind of drills and stuff until the pro day at BYU. He caught passes at the combine in Indy, but didn't run a 40 and those types of things. But where do you expect Puka to go? Is he one of those guys that, you know, is leaning more towards an undrafted free agent signing, or do you think he could sneak into the sixth or seventh round?
I think it's leaning towards not being drafted, right? But that's not it's not a bad thing at all, because I guarantee you there's probably a dozen teams that have him on their list right now. Puka, right? That they're interested in having him on their team, but they also know there's a really good chance at him being available as soon as the draft ends to give him a call and try to get him out onto their team for training camp. And the great thing about that for Puka is he gets to choose, right? He gets the option. It's almost like being a free agent. Now, you don't always get a guaranteed deal out of it, but let's go back to last year with Rashid Shaheed. He wasn't drafted. He got a 2-year guaranteed contract worth a lot of money for not being drafted. And midway through the year, he gets thrust into a opportunity to make a play, and he made big play after big play. And now he's on that 53 man squad in New Orleans. Right. So it can happen.
He's probably their second best wide receiver too.
Right.
I mean, like, it's all about opportunity.
Right. So it can happen. It can happen anyway. And I think Puka, that's going to be a similar opportunity for him. Is it's likely going to be an invitation as an undrafted player, but he's got the skills and the work ethic to make it.
Now, I want to touch on a couple of other players. These aren't guys that played college football in Utah, but they had standout high school careers here and went out of state for the next couple of years to play at some big-time programs. And, Michelle, you obviously cover Utah, but you also cover the Pac-12, and I wanted to ask you about a couple of these guys. I know that only one of them here played in the Pac-12, but, Sam, this is kind of directed at you as well, but you've got Siaki Ika, who went to LSU, played at Baylor after his high school career at East. You've got Noah Sewell, who went from just being a freak of a player on both offense and defense at Orem to now he's, you know, a standout linebacker at Oregon the last couple of seasons. And then Cameron Latu, who is a standout defensive player at Olympus High, goes to Alabama. They flip him over, make him a tight end, and now he's going to, you know, probably hear his name drafted this weekend. What do you expect from some of these guys, and how have you kind of seen them grow since their high school careers through where they're, you know, are at today, now that they've had, you know, some pretty outstanding college careers as well?
I mean, it's interesting because all three of them have been tied to Utah at one point in time. Obviously, that's not where they chose to go or ultimately ended up. Noah is obviously the one I've witnessed and watched a lot more closely, just with him being up at Oregon and Utah. Constantly playing Oregon. You know, that Sewell family is just so talented. They're so talented. And it's been a lot of fun seeing these kids kind of grow up and come through all poly, choose whatever college they chose to go to. Most of them were Oregon and then Nevada and then Utah. But I mean, just just so much fun seeing them grow, seeing the potential. Obviously, I think Noah's the last one, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, a little bit of an end of an era here. But I think he has a future in the NFL. Kid plays hard. To be honest, I mean, he was probably one of the only Oregon players that looked like he still cared 2 years ago when Utah beat the snot out of him in that Pac-12 championship game. I mean, he was still playing like there was a chance to win. And
because he was going against his brother, he had family ties on the line in that game.
I mean, yes, there is that, but he's just a baller. He's a baller, and NFL teams look at that. Like, they look at that. Game's well over, but are you still playing with pride? And he absolutely did that day. So that's my two cents on that one. The other two, I'm a little less familiar with them being in the SEC, but you know, it's exciting to have Utah talked about as a whole,
right?
Because we have talent not only at the college level by bringing guys in from other places, but we also produce our own talent too that gets exported outward.
Yeah, so that's three players that you listed off there: Kyle Siaki, Ika Noah-Sewell, and Cam Latu, that played high school football in our state. And as of last week, Utah is the fifth per capita, the fifth most NFL players per capita in this country, right? We produce talent. We might be a small state, but we produce amazing football talent. Then you add that on to all the people who come from out of state but funnel their way through a college here in Utah, whether it's Southern Utah, Weber State, BYU, Utah State, or Utah. There's players from all five of those schools at the NFL right now. And so, man, it is amazing. I remember two summers ago when I was at the Pac-12 Media Days, I did a story on just all of the Utah grown talent that was playing throughout the Pac-12. And I interviewed several of their coaches, and they talked about how, they try to keep it a secret, Utah, because it is a recruiting hotbed now. It's a great place to go find talent. And those are three guys that you mentioned. Now, these are three guys that are all going to be drafted. Every single one of them are going to be drafted as early as the second round. And so, I mean, I think Ika's got a good chance at going maybe late second round, early third round. Noah-Sewell, maybe third to fourth round. But, it's just awesome to see. You know, I moved away for a while. I was in Colorado for more than a decade, and it was hard. Like, I wasn't as close to the high school scene here, right? So I didn't follow it as closely. But out there, I was like, how come we don't have more players out of Colorado going to big Division I schools, you know? And that was my thought, Division schools. Now I'm here in Utah. It's like, how many players out of high school do we have that are going to go to the NFL? You know, it's a totally different breeding ground, I guess you can say, for football talent. But, man, Utah is just an amazing state for football.
No, it's true. It's a really exciting thing to see. I mean, I have a spreadsheet that I track all of the local NFL guys on. And, you know, so when they sign with a new team, I go update it. Or, you know, they move over from the XFL or USFL, I'm like, okay, I got to update my NFL one. And that list, I mean, in the last 3 years, it's just continued to grow. I've had to add more spots into this BYU section, this Utah section expands out here, and pretty cool. And also the high school guys. I mean, there's a dozen or so that are, you know, high school players that are now in the NFL. Pretty cool to see. I want to, before we wrap this up, talk about the NFL draft as a whole, now that we've kind of zeroed in on the local players. But I know that both of you love watching the NFL as much as I do. And I want to know, you know, you've got Matt Glade behind you, I see, Sam, and his team's got the number one pick tonight. I know he's excited about that. I'm not so excited about what his team's pick is going to do to my team's pick. But
it might benefit your team.
I hope so. We'll find out. I'm interested to see how things shake out tonight, because there's been all of these rumors the last, you know, 14 days. And, you know, Will Levis goes from being a guy who's going to be taken 19th overall to now he's favored to go second overall. Like, what's the lie? What's not? You know, I want it to be over with so I can have some peace in my life. But I will ask both of you, what's your prediction for, like, the crazy thing that's going to happen tonight? Just general NFL, like, what team do you think is going to make a jump? Like, you know, do the Patriots try and trade in the top 10 or, you know, does Seattle try and, you know, they have a quarterback already, but do they try and jump up to two or three to add one of these younger quarterbacks in? I mean, there's so many rumors out there right now. What do you think is the crazy thing that's going to happen? And I'll start with you, Michelle, and then we'll go Sam.
You know, I'll stick with my little scoop that I got about the Lions. I'm just so curious. Why was there silence when this was brought up? Why wasn't it like a, oh no, that's just really ridiculous and silly. And maybe it has nothing to do with Dalton. Maybe it's something else that they're planning on doing with that sixth pick, but it's got me a little bit alert. What are you guys planning on doing? What are you doing? So that's what I think I'm going to have my eye on.
Hey,
I'm curious now.
If you tweet that out and it happens, like, keep the receipt. That's all I say.
No kidding. For sure. I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. Man, this is tough because it feels like you know what's going to happen in these first few picks. But I'll say this, and it's not that crazy, but I'll say this. I'll say Will Anderson goes top two. How's that, right? I already have him going third, but so it's not that crazy. But when you look at the Panthers and Texans being very quarterback needy teams, it'd be kind of a shock if they didn't go for one. But I'll say this about Will Anderson, and I go back to my four position players that you can bank on for a decade. Like when the Broncos drafted Patrick Surtain the second 2 years ago, I mean, he's already all pro. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be a lockdown corner for a decade. Those are hard to come by. You take them if you can get them, right? And I feel like quarterback is still, there's a lot of uncertainty, even when you're taking one in the top two or three picks in the draft, because they have to fit your system. They have to develop. They still have, you still don't know what's going through the mind when they're behind center, but there's certain positions out there that, that are just like, the talent is unquestionable. And that is Will Anderson. That guy is an amazing pass rusher. I think he's going to be amazing in the NFL. And for whoever gets them, they're getting a franchise pass rusher. And so I still feel like he's a top three pick, but it's not that crazy. I know, but I'll say he goes top two. How's that?
I like it. I think Will Anderson's a freak. He's going to be really good for 10 years at least. Mm-hmm. He's just one of those guys that's like, he probably would have been the number one overall pick had he been able to come out last year.
He would have been. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy that he's probably going to lose like $10 million just because he wasn't able to leave school in time. Like, that's just wild to me. But
now, look, if the Panthers take Anthony Richardson, then maybe the Colts, what is it, CJ or Bryce? Who do you want?
If it's between CJ and Bryce, I want Bryce. But if, as a Colts fan,
we'll see.
I hope that it's either CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, or Anthony Richardson. I do not want Will Levis. I'll just leave it at that.
I still don't see, I don't know, whatever. Will Levis is, I don't know. I don't see it. I'll just say that. I don't see it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be crazy. My thing was going to be kind of alluding to that. My crazy prediction is that Bryce Young doesn't go number one overall. I just think that there's just a little smoke there. That's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And it does go to Matt Glade's team, the Panthers, and they've been kind of like tied to, you know, Bryce Young, then CJ Stroud, now Bryce Young again. And it's like, seemed like he was a lock for the last 2 weeks and nothing else. And I'm just like, just seems a little interesting to me. We'll find out though. We're 2 hours and 23 minutes away from the start of the first round. You can catch all the coverage tonight on, I believe it's on NFL Network and ESPN. I don't know if ABC has it tonight, but at least those two spots. I'll have an article up on our social media channels in a little bit, but you can go to the homepage of kslsports.com and see right there how to watch the NFL draft. Got it all broken down for you. Any which way you want to consume the NFL draft, it's right there for you. But make sure that you follow kslsports.com tonight, KSL Sports Live on Channel 5 here in the state of Utah, all the coverage. And then Michelle's going to have some great stuff to follow up, I'm sure. Michelle, are you going to do your early projection story like you did last year? I always look forward to those ones just because then it gives me my list that I can work on for the next 12 months. It does the work for me.
You know what? I really need to go back and actually read that and see how many of them I got right. Because I don't remember. I mean, I just barely started. So it was kind of a whole whirlwind of just having a bunch of stuff thrown at me. So it would be interesting to see how many of those I got right. But yeah, I think, you know, why, now that we're kind of in the quiet season again, like let's throw some names on the wall and see if they stick for next year.
Hey, we'll look at that, and then we'll also go back and we'll look at Sam's 2022 mock draft and we'll compare. We'll see how many each of you guys probably got wasn't right. Good. The mock draft stuff is always fun because you're putting it together and you're like, right. Oh yeah, that's like going to be a great fit for them. It's totally going to be one of these teams, and then some random team you didn't even think of. I remember a few years ago when Jordan Love was coming out, I put together this list and I was like, all right, these are all the teams that I could see getting a quarterback. And like Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. So I'm like, there's no way that like he's like, that didn't even come to my mind. So I put together a list and I'm like, these are the 14 teams, like almost half the league could take a quarterback, and none of them were the Packers. And I was like, so this article, I was like, I clearly don't know what I'm talking about either. So
I don't think anyone saw that move coming. That was a really random move on the Packers' part.
Yeah, no, super, super fun. I love the draft for that exact thing, the surprises, and hopefully we get some tonight, but we'll wrap this up, but I want to have everybody know where they can follow you guys. You can follow Michelle on Twitter at Bodkin KSL Sports, and then Sam is at Samsworth_KSL. You can also follow each of them on Instagram. They put out some good stuff on the IG as well, but make sure that you follow us on kslsports.com, KSL Sports app, and we'll have everything for you wrapping up the coverage tonight. kslsports.com. Everybody have fun.